my pleasure to greet you on behalf of our pastor. Many of you know that he this morning is in Kentucky. His mother-in-law, Miss Shirley Sloss, is in hospice. She is hanging on. They traveled on Friday, had a wonderful time with her on Friday. He sent a note this morning and said they're on the way to hospice yesterday. She was very quiet. It could be a matter of hours. It could be a matter of days, but he is there. He also said it's snowing in Kentucky, and his granddaughter is beside herself at that particular point. So today is also Sanctity of Human Life Sunday across our country, in which we recognize that God is the giver of life, and you and I are stewards of that life. And so as we begin to think and turn our hearts this morning into what God would have us hear, I would invite you to pray with me this morning. Father, thank you for this morning. Father, thank you for the freshness of your love for us. We do pray for our pastor as he is away this morning with Miss Shirley. God, we pray for the family as they gather around her. May these be sweet times of reflection and of memories, and that, Father, your peace and your comfort is very real and very dear to them this morning. God, we pray that this morning we would honor your word, and as we turn our attention to your scripture and what you say to us about being stewards over all that you have given us, Father, grant us wisdom and courage is our prayer. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. I know we have a lot of guests. It's the first of the year, and many of you have moved into our neighborhood over the holidays, and we welcome you. I am Neil at fruitcove.com. Now, some of you who have been here, you know what that means. That typically means when the pastor preaches something that borders on the controversial, he will say, email me. I'm Pastor Tim. My email is neil@fruitcove.com. So thank you for your cards, your letters, and your emails. I appreciate those on a regular basis, and thank you for that. It's my privilege to stand this morning in his stead and look at God's Word. Many of you also know we are now 2 weeks into that Promise Sermon series that comes near every year where we're talking about your money. I kind of thought that's where we would go this morning. But as the guy who came in on the beach, from the beach a couple of days ago, because we live close enough to go there, right? As the guy who's coming in from the bench, I feel that I can take a few liberties this morning. And I don't want to stop with your money this morning. I want to talk about you and all your stuff. I spent some time with my family over the Christmas holidays, and I'm reminded that I have some unique people in my family and part of the world that I come from. We talk about everything and everybody. So this morning, we're not just going to talk about money. We talk about everything and everybody that's in your life that's near and dear to you. Words are important. Words help us communicate our deepest thoughts. Words help us communicate our deepest feelings. A couple of weeks ago, I used a couple of words that has created a little bit of confusion, and I want to clear that up. I introduced you a couple of weeks ago to my grandkid. I did not say my grandchild. I did not say my grandson. I did not say my granddaughter. I said my grandkid, and that created a little bit of confusion. So let's try again. This morning, I want to introduce you to my grandkid. I love my grandkid. This is my daughter and my grandkid, a little goat that they adopted just a few weeks ago. I have no idea when the terrible twos kick in goat years, but I'm looking at that picture on the right and I'm thinking they can't be too far away. I do know that he has eaten everything Hugo height around the courtyard in their house. So the terrible twos may be upon us. If you don't know my daughter, she and her husband live among a people who are known as wanderers. They are wandering the desert on a day-by-day basis. They are wandering in darkness because they do not know the salvation of Jesus Christ available to them. And they are living among them that the wander people might become followers. Thank you for praying for them. Thank you for encouraging them. They are deep into language study. They're learning a language that is an unwritten language. It's an oral language. So everything that they do is oral, which is not bad because most three-year-olds around here can speak English. They can't read English, but they can speak English. This gives them hope each and every day that someday they can learn that language. This morning, I'm going to make an attempt to help some of you learn a new language, a language of stewardship, a language that can guide you and I as we think about how do we handle our money. But even deeper than that and broader than that, how do we handle our lives? And so stick with me. Relax. There's a lot of scripture that I've just written. You won't get to all of it this morning. You probably won't take notes. As a matter of fact, if you stick with me, though, I'll make a promise. If you stick with me and do a little work, you will memorize the key points of today's sermon. Okay, that's a big promise, right? So let's go to work with it. Let's start with the word stewardship. Stewardship is a word, it's the process of taking care of things that deserve or are worthy of taking care of. A steward is by definition a person who stands in the middle. A steward is given responsibility of resources that are owned by one person, and it's their responsibility to distribute those resources for the benefit of another person. Think waitress, think waiter. As a matter of fact, if you flew a long time ago, we had stewardesses and stewards on airplanes whose job it was to make our experience comfortable. We don't call them that anymore. They're flight attendants. Why? Because steward and stewardess is just one step away from servant, which is just one step away from slave. And you really know if you're servant-hearted or slave-minded by how you act when you're treated as such, right? So a steward is by definition someone who stands in the middle. You and I are stewards. And let's just look at scripture just for a moment. You see this, Mark 12, verse 28 and following. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that, he answered well. He asked Jesus, which commandment is the most important of all? And Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Isn't this not a story or an illustration of stewardship? What is the greatest commandment, Jesus? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It puts the believer smack in the middle between the one who has resources that are willing and worthy to be cared for, to distribute those resources to people who need those resources. Stewardship is what you and I are. And here's the language that I want us to play with a little bit this morning. We're going to play with sign language just a little bit. All right, and so you and I are stewards, and so we first need to understand that I am a steward. All right, so we do that by pointing at our heart. Do that with me. This is the interactive part. All right, we're going to play all morning. This is the interactive. I'm pointing at my heart. It's the deepest part of me. My heart describes my emotions. It describes that which is powerful and valuable to me. Watch this. In sign language, when we talk about loving someone, we close our fists to hang on and we draw it to our heart. We hold the things that are precious to us close to our heart, and they become who we are and our identity. So when I say I'm a steward, what I'm saying is I'm taking the things that I love and I'm holding them close. I love. This morning, you and I are stewards. We're given a responsibility to take that which God has given and distributing it to those God loves and to the people God loves. But to be a steward means I'm acting on behalf of the owner. So here's our first truth this morning. Biblical stewardship makes no sense apart from Jesus. I mean, we can talk about money, we can talk about your checkbook, we can talk about being a biblical steward, but ultimately, biblical stewardship has no meaning whatsoever apart from Jesus. Because Jesus gives you and I the reason for being and acting as stewards. to take the resources that he has lavished upon us and distribute those to others. As a matter of fact, Jesus changes our heart and he transforms our values and he proves to us that what he has done for us is worthy of holding on to and passing along to others. A few months ago, we looked through the book of Colossians together, and in Colossians chapter 1, we have this wonderful picture and description of who Jesus is. Jesus, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before him, before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent." All things were created by Christ, for Christ, and are held together by Christ. We looked at that a few months ago as we looked at this beautiful hymn and this picture of who Jesus is, and we recognized that Jesus Christ's lordship, his preeminence, the fact that he is over all things is the foundation for the fact that you and I can even be stewards to begin with. For if Jesus Christ were not over all things and before all things, you and I would have nothing to offer. You and I would have nothing to give. You and I would be as lost as the people around us. This is a great truth for us, that out of nothing at all, God created all that there is with but a word. It was perfect, but sin corrupted it. And you and I have been given a responsibility to proclaim the message that God is making all things, everything, right before him through Christ. Look at the last two verses of Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. "For in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." You see, what that means is that the creation that God created as beautiful, as perfect, that was marred by our sin, Christ died to redeem that creation, to restore it again to the ideal that God intended, in which God provided all that you and I need. And we would not be left to seek that which we think we're missing on our own, and hold those things that we think will give us value and meaning outside of Jesus Christ until we find that they are emptiness and that they are nothing at all. In Romans chapter 8, Paul reminds us, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" See, you and I are afraid today to relinquish control of the things that we hold near and dear, because we have forgotten the fact that God, through Jesus Christ, has demonstrated his great love for us, and that while we were sinners, he died for us to redeem us and to make us stand before him righteous in Jesus Christ. So we need to learn some new signs, right? Jesus. I bet you know that one, right? You've seen that one often enough. Jesus. Jesus, come on, you got to do it with me or you're going to miss it. You won't have to take notes. This is interactive. You got to go. We're going to put it all together at the end. Hands up, middle finger touches the palm. What does that remind you of? The nail scars. Jesus. Jesus. God's righteous son died. He was crucified for your sin and for my sin. Why? So that he might become our Savior. What does sin do for us and to us? It binds us. It binds us. But you know what a Savior does? A Savior breaks the bounds and stands us in righteousness before our God. Jesus is our Savior. Come on. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our Savior. What's our attitude towards them, towards him? He's a blessed Savior. We take the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart, and we confer them on our Savior. He is a blessed Savior. He is the one who is worthy of praise. Jesus is my blessed Savior. Ready? Jesus, my blessed Savior. How are we doing so far, right? Look at that. You've got a vocabulary of 5, which is more than I have in Russian. So there you go. I know about a little bit of language. The best compliment ever paid for me when I was living in German was someone asked me one day if I was a Belgian. It meant I was not an American. Hey, I'll take that. They knew I wasn't German. They couldn't figure it out. They just wanted to know, are you Belgian? Jesus, my blessed Savior. Biblical steward makes no sense apart from Jesus. Point number 2, biblical stewardship is a free surrender of control and ownership of everything, not just your money. Right? Biblical stewardship goes far beyond your checkbook. Biblical stewardship goes to your life. Biblical stewardship goes to your attitudes. Biblical stewardship goes to your words. Biblical stewardship goes to your children. It goes to your home. Biblical stewardship goes to the very core of your being. It makes no sense apart from Jesus Christ, but the fact that Jesus Christ has redeemed you gives you purpose and reason for living, and therefore the confidence that you can freely surrender all that God has given you. All that you think you own, biblical stewardship says freely give it up to God. A giving God, and God is a giving God. Amen? He gave Jesus for us. A giving God expects a giving people. This should shape our attitude towards giving. The writer of Corinthians, Paul, says in 2 Corinthians, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, but God loves a cheerful giver. Do you get that? Because we are who God says that we are in Jesus Christ, then we should reflect on the great blessings and love that He has given us and give joyfully and give cheerfully without reservation, without being begrudging about it. The offering time on Sunday morning should be a time of rejoicing and smiling because we're bearing testimony to the fact that I am redeemed in Jesus Christ. He's my blessed Savior. You remember that? Blessed Savior. He's given me all that I need for life and for godliness. But you and I, we're accumulators. We're hoarders. Ooh, hate to use that word, right? But it's true, isn't it? Right? We accumulate stuff. We accumulate experiences. How many of you know what's happening in Jacksonville next weekend? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Yeah, you're afraid to raise your hand. I know. It's the boat show, right? Yeah, some of you know. All right, the boat show is coming to Jacksonville. Homes, cars, boats, sports, children, experiences. We accumulate things in our life through our children's life. We're living our lives vicariously through them. And boy, how's that working out for you today? We accumulate stuff, but Jesus says this in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Very familiar verse to many of us. As a matter of fact, I think Pastor referenced this just last week. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? A giving God expects a giving people. A generous people. And biblical stewardship means that we freely surrender control of all that we have and all that we are. So it's time to add a few more words to vocabulary. All right, let's talk about all. All. Put your left hand out just sort of like this. We're going to take all with our right hand. We're just going to reach out everything that we can put our arms around. We're going to take it and bring it right back here. All. All your stuff, all your children, all your experiences, all your money. Ooh, I said it, didn't I? And you're going to surrender it. Surrender it. All surrendered. All surrendered. You notice that about surrender? It's an open-handed expression. You can't say, all I surrender. That doesn't work. I have no idea what I'm saying right now. I hope it's not bad. I just know it's not surrender. Okay, this is all. Well, instead of all, it's some I surrender. That doesn't work in biblical stewardship. Biblical stewardship is all I surrender. All I give. Open-handed again, right? You can't give like this. You give. How do we give? Because God gave freely to us, we give freely in return. Freely. We can make the letter F. We put it together like that. Look, we're tied up again. You notice that? That's kind of a neat thing about stewardship. If you do it wrong, you'll get tied up. But when we freely give, He sets us free, doesn't He? He releases the things that will entangle you. You guys know that house, that boat, that car, all that stuff, it'll tie you up. But if you freely give it away, it'll set you free. Amen? Biblical stewardship makes no sense apart from Jesus. Number two, biblical stewardship is the free surrender of control and ownership back over to God. Number three, and this is the last point, biblical stewardship is based on a relationship that begins with love, demonstrated by trust, fulfilled by obedience. How much do we give? Man, that's usually the first question somebody asks when you start talking about money. How much do I have to give? Well, the Old Testament teaches that 10% is, well, I don't want to give 10%. That's Old Testament. I live under the New Testament. And Jesus didn't talk about giving 10%. He said, no. If any man would not deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me, he can't be my disciple. That doesn't sound like 10%, does it? What does that sound like? All. See how that works? That sounds like everything. Everything. Everybody. All. Not 10%. All. Biblical stewardship is how do you do that? How do you get past this 10%? I can't afford to give 10%. How am I going to do this? You need to learn that God loves you. And that God loves you so much. Again, we go back to biblical stewardship. Makes no sense apart from Jesus. God loves you so much in that while we were still His enemies, you were His enemy. Christ died for you. And in Christ, you have all that you need. So what are you holding on to? Do you think that well is not endless? Do you think at some point God says, enough? Yeah, that's enough. That's enough. They just keep giving it away. I can't give them anymore. They just keep giving it away. I mean, that doesn't even sound right, does it? But that's how some of us live our lives. Biblical stewardship results from a deep devotion and love, a love that we express to our Father because He has loved us. Our love is demonstrated by an unfailing trust in the ongoing, never-ending faithfulness of God. Today is Sanctity of Life Sunday. You have an insert in your worship folder. And on the back of it, the second sentence is the one that stood out to me this morning. It said, what a great illustration of what it is to live a life of love and trust. This comes from First Coast Women's Services. It's one of our partners, one of several partners that we use in this area in unplanned pregnancy services to young mothers and fathers, in addition to Lifelines, One More Child, other partners. At Fruit Cove, we believe that life is important. From conception till its end. And so we work with a variety of partners and not just providing pregnancy services to young families who need that, but also in adoption and foster care. Second paragraph, when a woman experiences an unplanned pregnancy, she may feel like her life is over and she has only two options, abortion or giving up her dreams. You know the premise of that statement? Is oftentimes she has no idea of the depth of the love that God has for her and for her unborn child. And because she has no idea that God loves her so infinitely. She has no grasp of what it is to trust God with that life, to trust God with her dreams, to trust God with her life. Friends, it's biblical stewardship. We have a responsibility to steward life by helping everyone understand that we have a Father who loves us and can be trusted in everything. Some of you, sorry, deep breath. Many of you have asked, how can you send your children to the other end of the world? When are they coming home? We had to come to grips with the fact that they may not. They live there. They don't live here. And can I give you a little hint? When they come home in 2.5 some odd years, don't ask them how their trip was. Because when they come home in 2.5 years, they're in the middle of their trip. They live there. To come here is a trip. They live there. People say, how can you give your daughter and your son-in-law up to go to a place knowing they may not come back? All I can say to you is they love God. They trust God. He has spoken into their life and said, go, and they obey God. Who am I to stand in their way? No, her mother and I have to come back and say, God loves us. All right, here we go. Here's the audience participation part. Remember, we got love. Here's God. He loves us. I will trust Him. You know what the picture is? It takes two hands to do this. It's holding a rope. It's holding a rope. It's getting to the end of the rope and holding on. This hope is coming from the portals of heaven. And God saying, I love you with a never-ending, unfailing love. Will you love me and will you trust me and just hold on for me? Well, how often do I love and trust? Always and ever. Here we go. Ever. Ever. This means I just keep going on. Ever loving and trusting Him. I like this one too. How do you learn to trust God? You got to learn to live in His presence. You know how you live in His presence? You turn your face to His face. And you live in His presence daily. Daily. Make a fist just like this. Just kind of brush your cheek daily. In His presence, I'm daily living. With all that I am, with all that I can be, I am living daily in His presence. Love, trust, and obedience. In his book, The Pursuit of God, A.W. Tozer reminds us that when God created the garden, He filled it with all that Adam would need for his sustenance and delight. In the Genesis account, actually, God simply refers to them simply as things. They were created for man's use, so they were created to be subservient to man, but sin broke the process. You see, in God, in man's heart, there's a shrine, there's a throne that was worthy only of God. But when sin drove God off the throne, you and I seek to fill that throne again, and we do it with stuff. With things, and we've been doing that. A.W. Tozer continues. He said, the nature of the heart is to possess, to hold on. It covets things with a deep and a fierce passion. The pronouns me and my look innocent enough, but their constant and universal use is significant. God's gifts have now taken the place of God, and the whole course of nature is upset by this monstrous substitution. What are we to do? I've given you the answer. I've given you the answer. And now we're going to put it together. Together. There's a song we used to sing. Looking around this crowd, about 2/3 of you know it. The other third, you're going to learn it. It goes like this. All to Jesus
I surrender all to Him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence, daily live. I surrender what? All. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Friends, you and I worry about money. Money's not our problem. You and I worry about our stuff. It's not our problem. We want to hold on to our kids and the things that we love most, the things that we trust most. It's not our problem. The problem is we haven't learned to love, trust, in His presence, daily give everything, everybody. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do this morning. When we think about stewardship, it's a lot more than your pocketbook. Makes no sense apart from Jesus. But I'm asking you this morning, would you make that your prayer? That as you go into the next week, as you think about when the bills come due, you look at the bill and you go, I surrender all. I surrender all. God, You got this. I'm not going to worry about it. When it comes to taking the checkbook out and thinking, man, I don't want to stop at 10%. I can't do that. I surrender all. Brian and Kathy and the worship team are going to come, and right where you are, if you want to make this your prayer this morning, if this becomes your testimony of what you want to say to the Lord this morning, that all the stuff that's got me confused and all the stuff that's overwhelming me right now, I just want to give it over to God again and surrender it. Let it go. I want to be free in all things. Is that your prayer? Just bow your head. You don't need to follow along. Just listen. You've got the signs. You've got the sermon. This is the point this morning. You've got it all. Make it a prayer with me this morning.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender. Oh, to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust.
You are carrying things this morning, you need to surrender. You're worried. You're anxious. You're struggling in an important and a key relationship. You're concerned about a job or a vocation. Your children are driving you crazy. Or your children want to follow the Lord and you're not sure what to do with that. You're just holding on to stuff. And because you're holding on to stuff, you cannot be the steward that God demands and desires that you be.
Because he says, first and foremost, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You can't stand in the middle and serve one another when you're holding on to the concerns that you haven't surrendered to the Savior. Some of you I lost at the very first point this morning. Biblical stewardship makes no sense apart from Jesus. And you're saying, who's Jesus? Come, let us talk to you. We want to introduce you to Jesus. He is the Savior. He is the one who lived the life you couldn't and gave his life that you might be righteous before a holy God. We're going to pray, and I'm going to invite you to stand. And as you stand, some of you need to take a step forward this morning and say, I want to know this Jesus. I've got something I'm holding on to. I need to surrender this morning. Some of you just need us to pray with you. You come. This is your time as we respond to God's message for us this morning. Father, as we come into this holy moment, a time to say again that we love you and we trust you, God, move us. Set our feet to stand where you desire us to stand, holy before you, trusting you completely. Father, bring us to the point of surrender that we might trust you in all things. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen.